Welcome to Alaska Edition, a weekly public affairs program produced by Alaska Public Media in the studios of KAKM. The host and moderator for Alaska Edition is Lori Townsend.
Hello, thanks for joining us. Governor Bill Walker's State of the Budget speech made clear that leaner times are ahead for Alaska. His address was a somber departure from the optimistic State of the State address. He noted almost right away that managing the state's finances into a better standing will not be easy. Here to discuss the implications of what the governor has proposed, as well as an outlook for the spring and summer business season, is Bill Popp. Mr. Popp is the president and CEO of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. Thanks for being here, Bill.
It's a pleasure to be here, Lori.
Thank you so much. Also, Alyssa Shanks Rodriguez is an economist for the State Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And Alyssa is here to discuss the role state government has in employment for interior and coastal areas and kind of maybe a little bit across the state. Hi, Alyssa. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much. Bill, let's start with some of what we heard from Governor Walker. First, give us your overall impressions of his plans for reducing spending, and then we'll discuss some specifics.
Well, it came across definitely as an austerity plan, more of a scalpel than a hatchet to state spending, focused on trying to play for a little bit of time to see how oil prices settle out so that we can make some longer-term fiscal decisions in regards to what the outlook is for price of a barrel of oil in the state. So when you look at it from that perspective, I did take a little heart from the perspective of the business community that, you know, one of the concerns that I'm hearing a lot from local business leaders is that we may cut too far too fast and drive the state into an unnecessarily deep recession, which this proposal seems to be very aware of and seems to be looking at trying to moderate cuts to the degree that is reasonable, to make sure that we don't inadvertently create more problems than we already have.
Mm-hmm. One of the things he talked about was he plans to eliminate the one-time boost in funding for education. The legislature put that in place last session. He plans to reduce municipal revenue sharing by $3 million currently. And unless things really turn around with the price of oil and other revenue sources, municipal revenue sharing may just be phased out. What kind of impact will the current reduction in funds, the $3 million, have on Anchorage and other municipalities? And then what would that look like going forward if there was no municipal revenue sharing?
Well, I have to, full disclosure, I'm a reformed municipal official myself, having been on the Borough Assembly in the Kenai Peninsula for 6 years and the mayor's office for 4. So I've seen the impact that municipal revenue sharing can have on a small population community that's dealing with a lot of different unique regional challenges and difficulties in trying to maintain government services. And revenue sharing is very important to the smaller communities in rural Alaska. For the municipality of Anchorage, it is $14 million towards municipal government. The $3 million cut that the governor is proposing is a very modest cut. Obviously the details and whether or not there's any tweaks to the formula calculations, how that's going to be distributed, we don't know yet. But on the face of it, it seems like a withstandable cut for the FY16 budget. Beyond that, I think it's a little too early to start to speculate that municipal revenue sharing is going to go away. I think that we're only 6 months into this price decline cycle. We have to remember that back in 2008, oil went from nearly $147 a barrel to $32 a barrel and back up into the mid-80s in less than a year. So, you know, we've been here before, and I think the idea of waiting for things to settle out a little bit and for the markets to find their balance and their equilibrium is an important policy decision that I think that the governor is trying to make.
What are you seeing as far as the nervousness quotient for local retailers and construction companies as they're trying to figure out what their way forward is?
Well, it just so happened that we just did our business confidence index survey over November, December, which is fairly fresh data, and we surveyed over 245 businesses. And I won't give a lot of the details because we are releasing that report in another week and a half, 2 weeks. But in general, what we see is businesses are still fairly confident in their own businesses. They know what they know, and they're not seeing any issues yet with their customers, their clients. They're still leaning towards hiring. They're still leaning towards making some investments, although at much lower levels, you know, in terms of enthusiasm than we've seen the previous year. The one concern that they have is about the Alaska economy, and they have a negative outlook on the Alaska economy. Not dramatically so, but it definitely turned from where it was a year ago, which was very optimistic. And I think it's all based on the freshness of this fiscal issue that we're dealing with in state government. They're still not clear on what is going to be the impact of those cuts. And then they're also watching very carefully to see what the oil industry does and the different companies that are involved. Right now, there's a commitment to the projects that have been announced by the companies. There's been no announced cancellations that I am aware of in the oil patch. We're at all-time record high employment in oil and gas in the state, both on the North Slope and in Cook Inlet. And I think that that significant piece of spending in the state, which is quite substantial, billions of dollars being generated in the private sector side of things, is what they're watching even more closely than they are what's going on with state government.
So a little bit cautious, but still not putting the brakes on.
Nobody's going up to the roof to jump off yet. I think I can say
glad
that.
Glad to hear that. Alyssa, let's get you in here now. Give us kind of an overview of the geographic range that you focus on and how much impact government employment currently has in those areas.
So I focus down on the Gulf Coast region, which includes the Kodiak borough, the Kenai Peninsula borough, and then Valdez-Cordova census area. I look at interior Alaska, which the biggest is Yukon-Koyukuk census area that stretches almost across the entire state. And then I also look at the northern region, which is Nome census area, North Slope borough, and Northwest Arctic borough.
So that's quite a big chunk of the state. How does government employment, you know, we're looking at cuts now to state agencies and departments. How much impact does government employment currently have in these regions?
It has a very large impact in these regions. A lot of these, especially northern and then the interior region, they have a lot of very small communities. And it seems like in a lot of places, the smaller the community gets, the larger the impact of state and local government employment is. It becomes a larger and larger slice of their total job market. And in many cases, it's because there's just not a lot of private jobs to be had. So a lot of them end up in local education for local government and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to sort of look at, he's talking about between 5 to 8% cuts, maybe as much as 25% over time. He said that he would double that number, the 5 to 8% number within his own administration to kind of lead by example. Is there a way to sort of look at that and do the math job-wise? If it's 5%, it's going to equate into this type of job loss. If it's 10%, it's, can you do those types of numbers? Is that the way that you look at it when you're trying to figure this out?
I think it's a little bit too early to do that. Eventually, that is something that maybe we would kind of look into, but I think it's very difficult to say that, you know, if 5% of the budget is cut, for example, that it would relate to, you know, 5%
of
the
jobs
or anything like that, because I think people generally try to spare jobs, so maybe there would be cuts to other things before jobs, or maybe jobs that have gone unfilled for a while would just be eliminated.
Sure.
So it's really uncertain as to where any of the cuts maybe would come from.
Mm-hmm. Bill, do you want to add something to this idea of what cuts for local, you know, Anchorage is a big city, but there's a lot of government employment here too. What kind of impact do those cuts have?
Well, government jobs are pretty substantial in the Anchorage area. It's thousands and thousands of jobs at both the local, state, and federal level. And we've been seeing over the last few years cuts in federal employment, averaging 300 to 400 jobs a year lost, as well as cuts to local education, the challenges that the local school district. And quite frankly, that's been adding up to 700, 800 less jobs per year in Anchorage on the government side of the coin. State has been level. Local municipal government, for the most part, in the last few years has been level. What we've also been seeing is a very, you know, good, steady, solid, not boom, but good, solid growth in the private sector side that's been absorbing those losses and ending up netting out a positive scenario for the most part in overall employment in Anchorage. Not, you know, super growth. I mean, right now our preliminary numbers show about 200 plus jobs in Anchorage for 2014. But if you take the 500 or so jobs that we've lost out of federal and local education losses, then we're up, you know, closer to 700-800 jobs up for the year once the preliminary numbers are revised. So we've got a good, you know, solid side on the private sector side, 4.7% unemployment in December. Very good number for Anchorage. And in the Mat-Su, 7.1 on the Kenai Peninsula, 7.2. I want to point out the Kenai Peninsula. I'm going to steal a little bit of fire from my compatriot here, but that's the lowest unemployment rate in the peninsula since 1990. They've got a very solid boom going on down there in the oil and gas sector in terms of significant investments down there. So when we look at what's being proposed, I agree it's too early to say what those cuts are going to manifest themselves as, how they're going to, you know, affect or not affect the local economy. But right now we're coming from a very good place, and I think we've got some capacity in the system, if you will, to absorb some of these cuts with only modest impact to the local economy.
It does sound that way, as if we're starting from a place that is much more solid than a lot of the states in the lower 48 who had great trouble several years ago when Alaska sort of rode through that downturn and didn't see so much happen here. So I guess we're starting above, and it'll be a little easier to absorb some of what's coming.
A record year in tourism, $24.2 million in bed tax, a record high for bed tax. We've been watching the tonnage numbers at Anchorage International Airport, and while it's not quite manifesting itself in more planes, we're getting fuller planes coming through thanks to the national recovery. And what we saw this last year was 2.92 million tons of cargo going through Anchorage International Airport. That is tied for the third best year that we've seen in the last decade in terms of total tonnage coming through the airport. And that's important because both tourism and the airport each account for 1 out of 10 jobs, directly or indirectly, in Anchorage. And so that means that 20% of our job base is seeing a very good, solid benefit from current industry trends. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, that's a good place to start from. Oil and gas employment just went up again in Anchorage this last month compared to the previous year. It's the private sector side of things is really, I'm very confident right now that it's in a really good place. Where it's going to be a year from now, I think we've got some clouds hanging out there and we're not quite sure yet. But I think that's reflected in both the business and the consumer community. The consumer optimism index that we just got the results on this week show that Anchorage consumers continue to remain positive, although down a little bit from where they were the previous quarter, still remaining on the optimistic side for mainly, you know, from their own personal point of view. Their finances are fine, their prospects are good, but they're concerned about the broader economy.
Sure. Alyssa, thank you for that, Bill. Alyssa, smaller municipalities will certainly feel the pinch of reductions in municipal revenue sharing. And as we discussed earlier, $3 million might not sound like a lot, but to small communities, even thousands of dollars can make a big difference. How are the small governments currently faring within the regions you work with?
I think currently, I can speak more about the communities as a whole as opposed to, you know, how the governments kind of work themselves, but I think there has been kind of a lot of treading water is generally how we kind of describe those smaller areas. Not a lot of job growth going on, but that's kind of the story with those communities and those regions in Alaska for the last several years or even decades. So I think to have that kind of shock go on in some of these communities, it could be quite a big upset. But I think, like we said before about it being so early, it's not yet certain to me what communities are going to feel what impacts and how those would be distributed. So yeah, I don't think we'd want to say for sure that they're going to feel
sure
a certain impact or not. But if those cuts came, I think it would have a huge impact on individual communities that depend so heavily on local government employment and some state government as well.
Mm-hmm. And what about the other economic drivers in those areas, especially that those that may be slowed down or impacted by a reduced state budget? Are there other things that are on the horizon or are ongoing now in these smaller communities that may help them weather through this?
Most of the I don't want to say all of them, but for sure a lot of the smaller communities and like Wade Hampton census area, those kind of places, like they don't have a lot of other private industry. So, you know, they have maybe transportation, they maybe have some mining, and depending on the community that you're looking at. So there are other things that could help weather the storm a little bit. There is some private industry going on. But if you have some of the very stable, generally well-paid jobs being reduced in areas, it's going to kind of ripple through to the to some of those other industries, especially the secondary, kind of the service sector. So, you know, if you lose your job with local government or state government, maybe you're not going to buy as much at your local grocery store, you're not going to buy as much gas, those sorts of things. And so that can kind of ripple through the rest of the community.
Sure, or you would go out to dinner less often.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. Bill, with federal sequestration cuts and the steep decline in oil prices, these looming budget cuts that are coming, what are the plans looking like or shaping up for construction and development, business development plans? You mentioned that there's still a lot of consumer confidence, that the business sector still seems strong, but we're seeing a stop in certain large projects. The Kinnick Arm Bridge is in a position right now. We don't know what will happen there. The Susitna-Wautana Dam. These are enormous projects that, of course, would have a lot of economic impact in the Anchorage area. What are you hearing about what the outlook is for spring?
Well, first, it's important to note that things like Susitna and the bridge project we're still many years away from construction. So it's not like we're losing jobs this year.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the planning phase, significant amounts of potential money being spent on permitting, designs, things like that, which, you know, does have an impact, but not to the scale of, guys swinging a hammer or running a jackhammer or pouring concrete, not getting a job this year because those projects were put off. What we're hearing right now is actually a fair amount of private sector development this year, in particular in retail. There's quite a bit of new retail businesses being brought into Anchorage again this year. We just came off of a very exciting year in retail in 2014, almost 600 jobs in the retail sector, which for a decade was just kind of flat. It was up a little, down a little, kind of a wash. But over the last year, we've seen a very significant amount of investment, several new retailers opening up across Anchorage, Northeast Anchorage out at Takotnu, at Glen Square, Diamond Mall, Midtown at Sears Mall, lots of new smaller strip mall type developments being developed. So from the retail side, there's a fair amount of activity. There's still some office activity going on, the new Siri headquarters, a couple of other Class A and Class B office spaces being built. Vacancy outlook right now for office space is about 5%, which is well below national average in terms of the Building and Owner Management Association is BOMA, that's their projection for this year. I think overall, from a general sense, it's not the worst year we're going to ever have seen in construction. It's not the best year. I'd say it's more kind of in the middle. Not a lot of government contracting. There are some core projects being talked about and being discussed and may go to bid, which would be some positives. I think the one area where we're going to see a significant decline in new capital projects being generated is the state of Alaska. And we've got to remember that there's still a lot of projects that were in development that are in kind of the capital budget pipeline from previous budget years that are still going to be hitting the street for the next year to 2 years. And so you've got a little bit of a shock absorber there. It's important to note, I've had a lot of even business people who I thought were rather level-headed trying to label this as the next 1986 disaster for Anchorage and Alaska. And it's the farthest thing from it. Department of Labor just came out with a great overview of Anchorage's economic history and in their latest Trends magazine. And one of the things that I noted in it was and that Neil Fried talks about is the 1986 bust, if you will, was a construction bubble. We had 20,000 people in the construction industry in 1983, 84, 85, leading up to that big collapse. We had 9,000 home building permits in 1983, 9,000. We've only had 9,000 over the last decade in Anchorage. And our construction employment right now is just below 9,000. So it's a completely different environment. Our banks are very, very healthy right now. We remember in the 80s, we lost savings and loans all across the state. I mean, it was a major banking disaster because they were undercapitalized and overextended. We've got about $11 billion on deposit in Alaska banks and credit unions right now. Very good situation there. So, you know, it's not the 1980s. We're more diversified. We're a more mature economy. Are we going to take some dings? Probably. The question is, are we going to self-inflict even more painful dings? That's what I'm trying to kind of tamp down right now. It's too early to be making, you know, radical decisions from a business point of view or even from a government point of view.
Sure, or dire predictions. Mm-hmm. The Anchorage economy sounds fairly robust and healthy. There's growth, as we've just heard. What about the smaller communities and the rural areas? Has there been any change in available employment over the past decade? Do things pretty much stay the same in these areas, or are there new potential employment sectors coming into any of them?
I think occasionally you'll see new things. You might see like a windmill get put into a community and then someone will be trained, and so that you'll have maybe one new job, or the technology that people use in their jobs will change. But in terms of the overall economy, when we kind of lump rural Alaska together, things haven't really changed that much. I think you could pick out kind of different things here and there that may have made an impact to smaller areas. But on the overall, there hasn't been a huge change. I know we did the We helped with the decennial review of the community development quota program. And when you read through what's gone on with that program, you can definitely see some investment that's been put in and those sorts of things. So there has been growth in different areas across rural Alaska, especially along that coastal area. There have been things, but in general, it's been a lot of the same for the last decade. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The economy in rural Alaska is intrinsically tied to the urban economies in the state as well. There's a lot of back and forth. What is the impact of rural spending and construction projects, seasonal work, on the urban centers? How is there a way to sort of wrap our heads around that impact and what that may look like going forward?
I think it's often been compared to kind of a spoken wheel system. So I think when you have additional project out in rural Alaska, you can end up with more activity in some of the urban centers, like Bethel is an urban center, as goods and people come through that area. So you can see an increase in urban Alaska when there's more going on in rural Alaska. But I think when you see rural Alaska just kind of hanging out and not having a lot of projects, I don't think the urban areas, unless it's a kind of a rural urban area like Bethel, I think places like Anchorage might not feel that as much. Bill might be able to speak about how Anchorage feels it when there's less going on in rural Alaska. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think they would feel it as much.
And I would ask you to weigh in on that, mm-hmm. Bill. There's a lot of the economy in rural Alaska has a lot to do with what's the business sector in Anchorage. How big a portion of the economy here is that back and forth?
It's hard to quantify in absolute numbers, but let's maybe take it from a macro point of view. You know, you've got an economy, and the latest numbers, this is going to be substantially different after 2014's oil prices get calculated into this. But the latest numbers was we're about a $50 billion, $51 billion economy in the state of Alaska, gross state product. And that's in a population of just over 730,000 people. We can't be parochial in our point of view. You know, I take a perspective, and our organization takes a perspective, that what's good for Fairbanks or Bethel or Sleepmute or the North Slope is good for Anchorage, because we are the distribution hub for most of those communities in terms of air cargo. A lot of surface transportation comes in and out of Anchorage when it comes to barge traffic or rail traffic going north, or road traffic in terms of distributing out to other parts of the state. We're the commerce center in banking and finance. A lot of that activity takes place here in Anchorage in terms of the financing, the payroll aspects, the general banking elements. We're a shopping center for the state. And so when rural Alaska is feeling the pinch, Anchorage does feel the pinch. Sometimes we don't necessarily notice it because of other things that are going on the way we should notice it, but it's there. And so, you know, it definitely concerns us when the rest of the state is not doing well, because that is has an impact on everything from logistics companies to mom and pop retailers in Anchorage.
Was there anything, you've been quite optimistic during this program. Was there anything that the governor said in the State of the Budget address that caused you particular heartburn?
No.
I guess that's good.
It's early days. It was a short speech. Mm-hmm. He is feeling optimistic about what he wants to try and accomplish. I think he's definitely touching a chord with Alaskans when he talks about the fact that we have a can-do spirit as a state. At least I believe we do. I've been up here since the 1960s, and I know what it is that we came from that period to where we are today. And I really feel strongly that there's a lot to be optimistic about, even in these very difficult times.
All right, well, thank you so much. That's all the time we have. Thanks so much to my guests, Bill Popp, President and CEO of Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, and Alyssa Shanks Rodriguez, state economist with the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Thank you for being here. We'll be back next week.
If you have questions or comments about the program, you can email Alaska Edition at alaskapublic.org or write us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. Alaska Edition is a production of KAKM. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of KSKA, KAKM, the licensee, or their underwriters.